Oh, mercy. You people here in Jerusalem really do have long lines for your wells. Let me tell you something. Where I'm from, we have two wells in our little town, and there's never a line. But here, you folks got entire swimming holes for a well, and you got a line that wraps halfway around Jerusalem. Whew. Oh, my goodness. How can you folk get anything done here in Jerusalem? How in the world? You got to stand in line all day just for a bucket of water. That don't make no sense. Oh, shoot, I'm sorry. My name's Bartel. Pleased to meet you. I'm from way up in the north in Nain. What do you mean you never heard of Nain? Nah, I'm just kidding you. Of course you never heard of it. It's just a little town. But you probably had some of our products, like wool from our sheep that we have up there, or maybe some of our olive oil. I remember when I was a kid growing up there, the adults would always mess around with us and they'd say, "You can be whatever you want, son, whatever you want, sheep or olives." So, seeing how I don't like chasing after sheep and olives go running off a lot less than those sheep do, I chose to be an olive farmer. Wow, this line goes on forever. Hey, I heard about what happened here near 2 weeks, 2 months ago, about how Jesus was crucified. What do you think happened? What do you think about the reports of Jesus' resurrection? I know the grave is empty. I gone there by myself just a moment ago. What do you think about the reports? Do you think that the disciples came in and stole the body in the middle of the night like the Sanhedrin said they did? Or do you think he really came back? Let me tell you what I think. Near around 2 years ago, something happened that I'd never seen in my entire life. We were all the way back in Nain in the hill country, up in the Galilean region. And I grew up next to this young man. His name was Evan. He was a good man. He was a little bit younger than me. Well, somewhere around the time when I got married and having started kids of my own, Evan's daddy, Heron, a really good man, well, he went up and died right in the middle of the field while he was grazing them sheep. Just up and died. And Evan, I think he was like 17 at the time. Now, what do you think Evan did? What will you do if you were 17? Evan had nothing. His mama was still around, but he had no family, he had no siblings, he had no kinfolk anywhere, and he had no prospects for marriage in our little town because I took the last woman. What do you think Evan would have gone done do? You know what Evan did? He stood up and he decided to take care of his mama Anna like a man. He became the man of the house. He took his daddy's position as a shepherd in the fields, and he took care of his mama Anna. That was amazing. Well, like I said, near around 2 years ago, I was out and grazing in my fields with my herd of olives, you know, chasing them down and making sure they're where they're supposed to be and whatnot, because I work hard as an olive farmer. I was out there and my wife came running out. And she told me that Evan was sick and he hadn't gone into his shift as a shepherd. So she said that he wasn't breathing real well right now. They couldn't even wake him up. So I went running back to his house. And before I even got there, I could hear Anna's voice wailing and screaming and crying. I knew before I went in there that Evan was dead. Let me ask you something. What do you do when people are grieving? Huh? What can you say to people who are in grief? Shoot, I don't know. You don't know either. I'm good at doing things, not feeling things. So I went in. And I went into that little house, and a few shepherds were already there. Anna was there right next to her boy, Evan. And she was crying and weeping and wailing and begging God to help her. But I looked at Evan. His skin was pale white. And his eyes were wide open. He was gone. up in the hill country of Nain, we don't have no fancy funerals like y'all do down here in Jerusalem. We live hand to mouth. You ever live hand to mouth before? In fact, if the crop don't come in, or you don't get enough sheep, or one of the sheep die, you get a little skinnier. So we couldn't afford fancy funeral clothes to wrap the body or fancy spices to put in there so the bodies don't smell. So in Nain, when someone died, you had the funeral right then and there. Otherwise, the body would decompose. So I started to leave with some of the other shepherds to go find our funeral bier that we'd use to compose bodies out into the burial fields outside of town. As I left, there were men and women gathering, and they were all weeping and crying. They knew what happened. The town started gathering around. Well, we found the plank that we used and the two poles that we used under the plank, and as we brought it back into town, over at Evan's house was just packed. There was the entire town was there, weeping and wailing and grieving and carrying on. Everybody except for a few shepherds he left out in the field to tend the flock. We went in and we were careful not to touch the body, because even though we're not the most spiritual up in Nain, we fear God and we follow His laws. So we took the two poles and slid one under his legs and one under his shoulders and carefully took his body and placed it on the bier plank. And then we took the poles and put them under the plank and we picked them up and started carrying them out of town. As we were carrying them out of town, we crying and weeping and wailing. The whole city was in mourning for our friend Evan. I was in the back. Evan was right there. And right in front of me was Anna, his mama, right next to her boy. And as she was crying and wailing and weeping, and I wanted to say something. I wanted to do something. But what can you do when people are in grief? As we walked out of town, I listened to her wails and I realized she had lost everything. She had no daddy. He died a long time ago. Her husband was gone. He died a long time ago. She had no other kinfolk anywhere. All she had was this young man. And he was gone. I don't need to tell you what happens to widows in our culture. How they face poverty, how they face starvation, how they face exploitation. Now, don't get me wrong. We as a town will make sure she wouldn't starve to death. But as I listened to her cry, I knew we could keep her body alive, but her soul was gone. She lost everything. Not just her family, she lost her future. Her future was dead. And as I marched through those streets, I realized something in that moment. Life really is hopeless. There ain't no hope in life. There was nothing I could say to help her. There was nothing I could do to help her. There was nothing anyone could do to help her. We marched Evan through the streets out the front gate of our town. And while we are carrying him toward the place that his own daddy was buried so we could bury him next to him, I saw the strangest sight I ever seen in my life. We're coming out of the gate, and then this crowd just started coming up towards us. And that crowd was bigger than the entire town. And they're all marching for us, and it was really strange because there was this man that they were following. And let me tell you something. It looked like he just fell out of the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. And I said, "What in the..." And one of the other pallbearers said, "Oh, that's Jesus. I saw him while I was up in Capernaum the other day." And I said, "Capernaum? Capernaum's a full day's walk from here. All these people followed Jesus all the way down from Capernaum? That's crazy." And as our group started coming together, we started slowing down. Anna didn't know what was going on. She was weeping over a boy. But then the groups came together and we had to just stop because we were in each other's way. This Jesus came around and he put his hand on Anna's shoulder. And you know what he said to her? Get this. He said, don't weep. Don't weep. Don't weep. Now, I already went and told you, I don't know what to tell folk when they're in grief. But I do know something. Some people say some really stupid things when they're talking to people in grief, trying to help. Don't weep. He didn't know nothing about her. He probably thought she had a husband. She probably thought he had more kids running around or grandkids. Somebody take care of her. He didn't know that she didn't have no kinfolk. He didn't know that she was running around and had no future left in her life and she faced starvation. Don't weep. Folks say some pretty stupid things. Now, there's a few universal truths in life, aren't there? Yeah, things like don't steal another man's wife. Well, don't talk back to your elders. Universal truths. Well, one universal truth is that no matter what, you don't touch a dead body. Guess what Jesus did next? He took his hand off Anna's shoulder. And while the whole town was around weeping and a wailing and a crying and a carrying on and mourning proper because everyone was dead, Jesus came. And he put his hand on Evan's chest. Everybody stopped crying at that moment. And then Jesus said, young man, I tell you, get up. And he did. I almost dropped the buyer right there. He sat right up. The color came back into his face. He was looking around. And Evan's saying, well, what's happening? What's going on? Where am I? And Jesus walked right up to him. And he took him by the hand. And he said, you're all right. Come on down from there. You're okay. Come with me. Your mother needs you. Well, Anna ran up and just gave him a hug so hard, I thought she was going to go up and kill him again. And then something came over us as we all stood there in awe. It's like a wave. And I tell you, a worship service broke out right there. One man said, a prophet from God has arisen from among us. And another woman shouted, she said, God has visited us. And we began singing and hooping and hollering and rejoicing and praising God for what he'd done. And then after that, after all that, Jesus just went up and done left. He went off wherever he was going. The crowd followed him, and we all got up and took Evan and went back into Nain. And so that was why, when I heard the reports about Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection, I knew it was true. I'd seen it with my own eyes. The power of Jesus. And as I've had these 2 months to reflect on that day, I've realized something. That woman said, God had visited us. Now, I think she meant that God's power had come down and been among us. But I don't think she knew how right she was. God himself had come and walked among us. So what do you think? What do you think about the reports of Jesus' resurrection? I think you should believe them. I know, I don't have no fancy education like all you city folk, and I know you folk here in Jerusalem look down at us hillbillies up in the country because we can't talk and we don't know nothing, we don't have an education, all we do is raise sheep and olives, olives and sheep. But let me tell you something, cousin. I saw a dead man come back to life. And that's all because of Jesus. You should believe the reports about Jesus. Well, looks like my turn to get some water has finally come up. It's been nice talking to y'all. Before I go, I want to tell you, I've realized something. Next time I talk to folks in grief, I know what to do. I know what to say. I'm going to comfort them. I'm going to comfort them with Jesus' resurrection. Because if he's raised from the dead, that means those who follow him will be raised from the dead too. If he's raised from the dead, that means this life is not all there is. But there's a future, and that future's bright. Jesus' resurrection power is real. I saw it. And you can see it too, if you believe.